Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 21. The last Perek was another one of Masaos, a harsh prophecy of Yeshayahu, this time about Egypt and Cush. Yeshayahu was told to walk around unclothed and barefoot to symbolize the upcoming destruction of these two nations by Sennacherib. This Perek has three Masaos. The first is against Bavel, the nation who was already discussed in Prakim 13 and 14. Our Perek focuses on one aspect of the downfall of Bavel, which is that fateful night of Belshazzar's party when the downfall began. Next, there is a Masa against Duma, whose identity is a subject of debate. It may be Edom, or it may be a child of Ishmael. Finally, there is a Masa against Arav, the nation of Arabia, a descendant of Ishmael. The Mishpatot Zahav notes that this Perek spans our entire Gullis experience. First, Bavel destroyed our first temple. Edom destroyed our second, and Yishmael, the Arab nations, are considered our final Gullis. Despite the other nations' strength and hostility, this Perek promises us that Hashem will demand justice for that which the nations have done to us and how they have hurt us. This Perek once again has many interpretations, sometimes about the general theme and sometimes about what each pasuk means. I will do my best to present one cohesive approach, but there are many others. The Perek begins with the words, pasuk 1, Masa Midbar Yam. The pattern we have seen so far has been that the Perek begins identifying the nation it is talking about, Masa Moav, Masa Mitzrayim, Masa Damesek, who is what nation is Midbar Yam. Based on the subsequent psukim, most Mefarshim explain this is a Masa against Bavel. Midbar Yam means a desert of a sea, or a desert of the west. Rashi and others translate this pasuk to mean that it is a harsh prophecy about the land which is west of a desert, which is Bavel, because Bavel is separated from the lands of Madai and Paras by a desert. Paras and Madai will be coming to conquer Bavel. The pasuk says, Kesufos banegev lachalof, like whirlwinds blowing in from the south. One can imagine a dust storm that comes out of the desert, Midbar Ba. The power of the chaotic whirlwind is enough to destroy a nation. Madai and Paras will destroy Bavel, and to the people of Bavel, these mysterious people are no ra'ah, frightful. While the previous prakim had negative nevuos about the nation, Yeshayahu emphasizes that what he is about to share about Bavel is pasuk 2, chazus kasha, the harshest possible prophecy describing the worst outcomes for them. Yeshayahu says ominously, Habogeid bogeid veshodeid chodeid, the betrayer is betraying, the ravager is ravaging. Radak explains that Bavel was infamous for backing out of their treaties. They would have peace with neighbors and then attack mercilessly. They are now getting their just payback from Madai and Paras. The primary leader in this battle is Madai, who, as we said in the previous Perek, was just out for vengeance. Persia is only mentioned in this Perek in connection to one of its provinces, Elam. Yeshayahu tells Madai, Suri Madai, Madai, you should lay a siege. Yeshayahu encourages this nation to fight Bavel. The battle between Bavel and Paras and Madai was one of life and death for Bavel. Yeshayahu describes it in Pasuk 3, Kitzirei Yoleda, it was like the pains of childbirth. Rav Schwab says that the pain of this battle is compared to childbirth, as right now they are experiencing the birth of a new empire. The words of Yeshayahu captures Bavel's panic so aptly. There is an overwhelming transition happening for Bavel, and from their panic, they are emotionally and physically shutting down. They are Na'avesi Mishmoa Nifhalti Meraos, too anguished to hear, too frightened to see. It was not just a harsh battle that caused them to be overwhelmed. The evening of the attack was a special one. It had begun as an intensely joyful evening, which made the change all the harder and more painful. To understand the context, we must look back to Sefer Yirmiyahu, or look forward to Sefer Yirmiyahu, Perek 29, Pasuk 10, where Yirmiyahu prophesied that the empire would last only for 70 years. Everyone in the region knew about this nevuah and wondered how it could happen. Toward the end of the 70 years since the start of the empire, Media and Persia began to fight against Bavel. Both parties recognized this as a potential fulfillment of Yirmiyahu's prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, fought a large battle against Persia and Media and felt he had defeated them. In celebration of the defeats and the fact that it seemed like he had now outlived Yirmiyahu's prophecy, Belshazzar threw a huge party. He even used the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash at this party. This evening turned out to be his last. As we discussed in Perek 13, and as is discussed in Sefer Daniel, Belshazzar saw handwriting on the wall, which Daniel interpreted to mean that the end of his kingdom had arrived. This is the evening the Perek is focusing on, Pasuk 4. Belshazzar says, Ta'al levavi, my heart is bewildered. This was supposed to be his big night. This was to be Es Neshev Cheshki, the night I longed for, when he could finally know that his empire would last past the 70 years of Yirmiyahu. He had defeated the threatening Paras Umadai. Instead, Samli Lacharada, the night turned into a trembling fear with a sudden attack. The Malbim says that the dramatic shift from joy to terror was particularly distressing, as the shift in emotions made Belshazzar crazier and more confused. Pasuk 5 zooms back to a previous time in the evening, right before the big party, right into the middle of the action. Belshazzar's servants were getting ready. They set the tables, they put security by the doors that they could relax, and a chol shaso, so that they could eat and drink. As they are preparing, they get word that they are under a surprise attack. They start screaming, Kumu hasarim, mishchum again, get up officers, oil your shields to get ready for battle. When there is a battle, an army will set up watchmen to warn of impending attacks and to send reports from the battlefield. Pasuk 6, Lech ha-med ha-mitzapeh asher yagid. Go, set up a watchman. Let him say what he sees. One of the watchman's job was to check if the advancing army was sending out scouts. These scouts would report back to their army and tell them where to attack. The watchman sees something really strange. He sees a chariot who's scouting the area. It's not being pulled by horses. One of the animals is, Pasuk 7, Rechav Chamor, it's a donkey, and the other is Rechav Gamal, a camel. This strange pair represents Paras and Madai. There are two different animals, as there are really two different kingdoms that are fighting. The watchman also hears the rumbling of an approaching army with hoofbeats and shouting. Then the attacking army arrives. Vayikra Aryeh al Mitzpeh. The Mefarshim differ how to translate this pasuk. Either the lookout, who is like a lion protecting the lookout, shouts a warning, or the lookout cries out, a lion, meaning the strong army of Paras and Madai, are by the overlook. He says that he has been standing there day and night, and what he sees is Pasuk 9, V'hinei zeva, rechav ish, tzemed parashim. There they come, mounted men, horsemen in pairs. He warns the people that the army is about to attack, but it is too late. Nafla, nafla bavel. Bavel has completely fallen. V'chol pesilei eloheha shibar la'aretz. All of its idols have crashed to the ground. Rashi, based on a midrash, brings an alternative explanation for this watchman who is looking out over the battle. He explains that the psukim can also be read as a conversation between Hashem and Yeshayahu, where Hashem tells Yeshayahu to appoint his student Habakkuk as a watchman. When we learn Habakkuk's sefer, we will see that Habakkuk demands to know how it is possible for Bavel to be so evil. Just as the watchman in our parak stood guard day and night, Habakkuk will daven for the Jewish people day and night until he sees Paras and Madai attack. And then he will finally be able to announce, Nafla, Nafla, Bavel. Bavel has fallen. The narrator of the tale changes. We are no longer hearing from the lookout. The pasuk says, Medusha si uven garni, my threshing the product of my fleshing for. Asher shamati me'ez Hashem tzvakos Elokei Yisrael higadati lachem. What I heard from Hashem, God of Israel, I told you. Yeshayahu is relating to the nation what he hears from Hashem saying about this incident. Hashem calls something my threshing. Wheat, when it is threshed, is beaten so that the grain remains and the bad parts are taken away. The Radak says that in this case, the product of the threshing floor is Bavel. Yeshayahu received this message about their punishment from Elokei Yisrael, the God of the Jews. Bavel was being beaten as wheat is beaten as a punishment for what they did to the Jewish people. Alternatively, Rashi explains that this masa ends by saying that the Jewish people are the products of the threshing. They are the grain. They had needed their problematic parts removed, and so this entire chain of events, from the gullus to the destruction of Bavel, happened so that B'nai Yisrael could be punished so that they would do tshuva. all the earth-shattering geopolitical changes in the region were only because of them. The next two psukim switch topics. It begins Masa Duma. This is a harsh prophecy about Duma. Eli Kore me Seir. He calls to me from Seir, which is the land of Esav, who is responsible for our second exile. The word Duma, the name Duma, appears in the Torah as one of the sons of Yishmael, but seemingly had no relationship with Edom. Because of the strange juxtaposition of these two phrases about Duma and Seir, the Mefarshim are divided as to who these two psukim are talking about. The Radak says that these psukim are about one of Yishmael's 12 sons when they are being attacked and destroyed by Edom. Rashi's approach is that these psukim are referring to Galus Edom, the next Galus after Galus Bavel. Duma, linguistically, sounds like Edom, so it could be its nickname. Rav Schwab suggests that Edom is called Duma because the word Duma is related to the Hebrew word for silent. Hashem is called Gibor, he is called strong, because he has seen how his children have suffered in Galus and not intervened. Hashem has been silent for close to 2,000 years of Galus, Edom, and has not saved us because this is what is needed for us, rather than that it being something pleasant for Hashem. The two psukim about this masa from this masa are, according to Rashi, our conversation with Hashem about Galus Edom. Pasuk 11, Masa Duma. This is a harsh nevuah about Edom. Hashem says, Eli kore mi Seir. They are calling to me from Seir. Bnei Yisrael are stuck in Galus, and they call out to Hashem from pain. Bnei Yisrael ask, Shomer, ma mi Laila? Shomer, ma mi Leil? Guardian, meaning Hashem. What is going on with this night? Guardian, what is going on with this night? The Mishpat Sosav explains that there are really two questions here. We are saying first, why are we having such a long galus? And next we ask, Ma mi Leil? When will we have another Leil Shimurim, an evening of being guarded that we experienced when we left Mitzrayim? Hashem answers in Pasuk 12. Amar Shomer, the guardian, Hashem answers, which we will interpret based on the Malbim, Asa voker v'gam laila. The morning came, and also the night. The morning, the time when it could have been geula, already came and went. It's night again. Bnei Yisrael missed the chance. They did not do tshuva. But we can change our circumstances. Im tivayun ba'ayu, shuvu esayu. If you would ask for it again, return again. Hashem is telling us that we need to ask for the geula. The geula does not depend on Hashem. It depends on whether we want it enough. We need to daven for it. We need to do tshuva in this generation to merit redemption in our generation. How do we ask for geula? Says Rav Schwab, when we do tshuva, we are essentially asking to be saved. We know that is the reason for galus, so our improving ourselves is how we request salvation. The next five psukim are Masa Ba'arav, a harsh nevuah about Arabia. While the who in this section is clear, the when has different opinions. During one of our exiles, Arabia betrayed us when we were very vulnerable. This either happened when Yisrael were being exiled by Sancheriv, or this happened during the exile in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. A large group of Jews passed by Arabia, and they reached out to the Arabs to tell them that they were starving and thirsty. Arabia were distant cousins, as Yitzchak and Ishmael were brothers. The refugees hoped that Arabia, who was known for their hospitality, would help them. Instead, Arav greeted the people with very salty fish. After the refugees ate the salty food, they were parched and begged for water. Arav were so cruel that they took the time to fill up canteens with hot air so that they would look full, but they were only bursting from the hot air sealed in them. When the Jewish refugees brought the canteen to their lips, the hot air went into their mouths and its stomachs, and they died a painful, horrible death. As a result of this intentional cruelty, Arav will be punished. Whereas before the land was full of hotels for travelers, now the nomads, the caravans of Dedanim, will need to Beya'ar Ba'arav Talinu, sleep in the woods, because there will be no more hostels to host them, as all the settled areas of Arav will have been destroyed. Arav, who are called in this pasuk Yoshvei Eretz Tema, those who live in the land of Tema, did not do their general behavior of Likras Tsamei Hesayu Mayim, greeting the thirsty with water. Instead, they were belachmo kidmu noded. They greeted the refugees with bread. They gave the refugees food first so that they would be so thirsty that they could kill them. This, Rashi says, was unlike how Hashem had treated their ancestor. When Yishmael and Hagar were lost in the desert, Hashem miraculously made Yishmael find water. His children should have learned to imitate Hashem, and they chose to be cruel. This deserves punishment. Pasuk 15 continues how their destruction will happen. They will be chased bipnei cherev netusha, from the drawn sword, umipnei keshes drucha, and from the bent bow, umipnei koven milchama, and from the heaviness of war. Rav Schwab says that according to the simple understanding of the pasuk, a rav will be destroyed completely by the military of Bavel. However, there is an element in the pasukim that are hutzrichu ledoros, necessary for all generations to know. The Yalkut Shmoni interprets the phrases to mean that at the end of the days before Mashiach, there will be three battles with the sons of Ishmael. One will be with arrows on the sea, the others will be with swords on the land, and the final battle will be the hardest, and it will be in the city of Edom. From this battle, Mashiach ben David will emerge and will go to Yerushalayim. The destruction of Arav, who is called in Pasuk 16 Kedar, will take place Be'od Shana Kishnei Sachir, in 1 year as the years of the hired worker. Because they were so vicious, their punishment will come only 1 year after their cruelty to the refugees, in contrast to the 3-year reprieve that Moab was granted. There will be very few warriors left from their population. Pasuk 17, Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Diber, for Hashem, the God of Israel, has spoken. Hashem, who cares about Klal Yisrael, will punish those who are cruel to them. In this parak, we learned about the downfall of Bavel, Edom, and Arav. While we live in Galus, we can gain strength from this parak. Twice, the parak mentions Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is being promised by the God of Israel. The name Elokei Yisrael means that there is a special providence of Hashem watching the Jewish people. World history are not events in which we are swept. It is a stage through which Hashem leads the Jewish people. Each event is being done with care and thought. Hashem is with us in Galus, and in the end, He will save us. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.